Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me. My name is Bradley Shaw, and today on Between the Covers, I have the wonderful Philippa Kay joining me, the author of Girl Detectives Just Want to Have Fun. Hello, Philippa. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
So tell everybody listening, what is the Girl Detectives Just Want to Have Fun? What are they going to expect in this wonderful book?
Well, it's a mystery, so it's a cozy mystery, but it's also got some romance. So it's called a cozy mystery with romantic elements. It's set in 1984, so it's set in the 80s. And Birdie, who is the main character, her uncle goes missing and she wants to find him. And so she sets out to try and find him.
And she's a bit of a talented musician and also a bit of a troublemaker, is that right? She's a bit of a character.
Yeah, so she's a high school music teacher. She also plays in a band on the weekends, and she also does music therapy for oldies in a retirement village. So she wants to find her uncle, and the police obviously don't want her to be involved in that and want them wants her to leave it to them. But she is the sort of person who decides that they're not doing enough and that she'll give them a little bit of a hand and see if she can find him herself.
So she gets into her own sleuthing program.
She does, yes, so, and she takes her friends along with her. A couple of her friends go along with her. So it's, it's good fun.
Awesome. And the premise of 1980s, putting it in that period, what was your in inclination for that? Why was that period still predominantly good for the stories?
A couple of reasons, I think, was because at the time that I wrote it, we were all in lockdown. And it was just, you know, everything was sort of doom and gloom. And so I sort of thought to myself, I wanted to set a book in a time when, in my mind, things were easier and things weren't as, you know, tragic and the world wasn't such a terrible place to be in. And I grew up in the 80s, so I thought, well, I remember it being a fun time and I enjoyed my enjoyed myself back then, and things were, I don't know, simpler. They seemed to be simpler, and there just wasn't as much, you know, stuff out there in the world that would make people anxious and unhappy. And I think we were also – we were in lockdown, we were reading books, we were looking for books to read, and everything that I was reading was sort of very deep and taxing, and I just sort of thought, oh, God, like, where's the fun in the world? Where's the fun gone? I set it in the 80s because, for me, it was a more fun time, and I just wanted something that was fun to read and a bit of a, you know, a bit of a quest and go on a bit of a ride and just have a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a good time. And it was a transitional time too. We went from like the 70s, and then 80s sort of had to try and find its identity and then fit into the 90s where technology started to appear. And
exactly,
I think 80s was a real transition period for people from that 70s to the 90s. It was that gap in the middle where there was explorative, you could have the fun of it. And I think without all the technology making things cumbersome and difficult, I think it was a really
good period. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that was the other thing, the technology, because kids today, you know, they can see everything. They can every tragic thing is right there in front of them. Like, my kids have seen things on the bus going to school that they come home and they go, "Mom, I saw this video on the bus this morning." And I just go, what's going on? I wanted the technology at a time when it was just very simple.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, basically, if this story was set today, you'd just do a track on their phone and you'd find out where it was.
There'd be no fun.
Long.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yes, I mean, the period itself is actually a design of really great mysteries. I mean, you look at some of the classic stories still in those periods before technologies in that way, and I think it was really a good decision to give yourself that
period.
Yeah,
I sort of wanted them to do that, like to have to sort it out, to solve it, rather than just find the answers on the internet.
That's right. And having readers as well be able to go back into that period themselves and remember their own journey and experiences, especially even younger ones now today still learning about what that period was back then and to try and fathom it. How did they survive without phones and computers?
Yeah, that's right. And you see those things on the internet where they put a phone in front of a kid and go, right, make a phone call, and they've got no idea. They don't even pick up the receiver. They don't know what to do with the doll that goes around and around. It's just got no idea. Yeah, so you're right. So kids today are sort of interested in that period, even the fashion from that time, and some of the music is sort of coming back again. So, yeah, it was a good time. It's good to revisit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so for your writing process, you said you wrote it during lockdown. Was it difficult to write? Did you find an easy story to flow, to tell? Because you've written before, haven't you? You've had a story published before and done some other things.
Yeah, I've had a couple of short stories published, and I had written a couple of full-length novels that weren't sort of – I hadn't really pitched them. It was more sort of practice writing. I think it is difficult to write a novel, and I think when you're writing a mystery, it's sort of a little bit difficult because you've got to make sure that everything sort of it matches up and ends, and that you know, you're following this journey, and that something happens like later on in the book that you've made sure that you've set that up earlier on in the book. And sometimes you get to the part where you're writing something towards the end and then you go, oh, that couldn't have happened because they weren't there at that time. And I've said that they were somewhere else. So you've got to go back or you get a really good idea at the end and you go, oh, that'd be fabulous if this happened, but that couldn't have happened. So now I have to go back and make sure I set that up to make it happen because that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
I think it is. It probably took me about a year to write, maybe 6 months to a year to write. And then you have to get it edited and people to beta readers and all that sort of thing. So it is a bit of a process, but it's enjoyable. Like writing is enjoyable. I find it really enjoyable because of that reason that I spoke about before, that sort of problem solving. There's a lot of problem solving in writing. And even when you've had it edited by someone and they say, oh, have you thought about this? This might need work, blah, blah, blah. You've got to go, oh, God, rightio, okay. Well, now I've got to go and problem solve that. So I think it's really good for your brain.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Writing is a great, great release and great creation of self-awareness as well.
Yeah.
And then in that context, are you Birdie, the detective, Hedra, the music teaching investigator?
I think I am a little bit of Birdie, but I'm also a little bit of her girlfriend, Pia, who sort of goes along with her, and probably even a little bit of the mum, Birdie's mum, Lenore. I think people ask you that, don't they, that, like, is that your story? Have you put yourself in the book? But I think I do, but not just in the main character. And I tag everyone along with me. So, you know, my sister's in there somewhere and my brother and my girlfriends and my husband and they're all in there, my children. So there's like, you know, people that I knew back at school and people that I grew up with, they're all sort of in there. And I have told my girlfriends that they're all in there. I said to them, I've made it so that no one knows who you are and I've mixed you up a bit and squashed you with other people. And so it's not truly me, I don't think, but there's just little bits and pieces of me in all my characters, I think.
Good, good. Yeah. And what was the most fun part of writing the book for you? What would you enjoy most about it? Besides putting the plot together with all those little twists and mysteries, but what else was really good?
I think getting to the end is really good when you've actually written a book. I remember doing some courses early on and one of the things that the people were always saying to you was, you know, actually write it, get it written, write the book, get it to the end. So I think that's really good to get to the end and actually go, I've written that, however shit it might be at first. Once you get to the end and you go, I've written that and now I know it might not be perfect and I can fix it, but I've written a whole story that makes complete sense. And I did it. I've done it. Yay.
And what did you learn from doing it? What was your biggest challenges and things for you to learn and to experience and realize as you did the process of writing a full book?
I think the actual process. So once you've written the book, And then you have to have people read the book, and then people give mm-hmm. you feedback on the book, and then you have to act on that feedback, and then you send it out for beta readers, and then they give you feedback, and then you start pitching. And then you might pitch in person, or you might pitch through query letters and things like that. And then you know, maybe you don't get picked up, you get rejected, or then maybe a publisher does pick you up like Shoreline, and then you go through the whole process of actually creating a book. So the actual writing, probably not so much learning, but what comes after that was the stuff that I learned. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the most powerful tool for new writers or any writer to really understand is where that next steps happen. Writing a story and creating that, that's the thrill of the imagination and freedom,
yeah.
But then you've got to really create it as a product and put it in the market, and that's really good.
Yeah, and if you don't, you know, if you're just a writer and you don't want to actually go to publication stage, then that's fine too, because yeah, it is just such a really good process to write something if that's what you want to do. Yeah.
And what feedback have you gained from the book? You said you had some beta readers, you had some family and friends read it. What feedback have you gained yet?
It's tricky when your family and friends read it because they go, oh, that's really good. You go, oh, that's excellent. Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
So the beta readers were people who I know were actual friends of mine who I know read widely, but who I knew would also be honest. So, so they sort of say, I don't like this bit, or why did she do that? Or I think it needs to be whatever. But then when you get like a professional assessment, they give you like pages and pages and pages of like ideas and things that, you know, you could improve on. And so that's like, oh, okay, here we go. And at first it's a bit, you know, the editing process is a bit overwhelming, but actually I know I'm probably not, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I love the editing process because I really love to get right back into it again. Because once you get to that editing process, you finished the book like 6 months ago. So you've moved on to your next book. And so to get back into it and go through it all over again and try and make it even better, that's really good too. I love that.
Good. And what do you hope readers will get out of this new book when they get hold of it?
Just something different. Like I know that it's a cozy mystery and we love cozy mysteries, and I don't want it to be too different. I want people to enjoy it because it is a cozy mystery, but it's got that little bit of romance and it is set in the 80s. So I wanted something that was familiar and would make people feel comfortable, but also with a little bit of a twist, a bit of a spin and something different.
Good. Well,
and of course, having fun.
And fun, because yes, girl detectives just want to have fun, isn't it?
That's right.
So, yeah. No, and Philippa, you've done a really marvellous job, and I'm sure all the readers who get hold of it will love it.
Thanks, Brad.
Everybody listening, the book is coming out on April 27th, which is only at this time next week, and it will be available where all great books are available to be purchased online and in stores. So if it isn't in your local store, do ask them to order it. But, yeah, check it out. It's called Girl Detectives Just Want to Have Fun by Philippa Kay, and it's a marvellous first novel. So well done, Philippa. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks to Shoreline, and thanks to you, Brad, and everyone there.
You're welcome. And everybody listening too, do support independent authors, independent publishing, and, get out and keep reading great books by new authors. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you next time on Between the Covers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.